Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Let's Get Personal podcast, where we have conversations about everything. My name is Jordan Antle, the host of this podcast, and I am so glad you can join us yet again for another exciting episode where I'm going to be talking about something that's becoming more and more of a big problem, and it is probably affecting you, me, and everybody now in the world that we live in today. And what is that? Well, it is the dangers that surround loneliness, and the fact that loneliness, albeit is a natural thing to feel, has become more chronic in this day and age. So in this podcast, I want to not only share with you a study that's been done around loneliness and share some statistics about loneliness, but I actually have some really great things I want to like push you towards, talk about, and I want to share you my story about loneliness, because if you've been listening to my podcast, you'll know that I've talked a little bit about loneliness, or maybe a lot, I don't know, all depending. I can't remember all the things I ramble about in these podcasts, but I also want to talk about ways that helped me figure out how to defeat loneliness, or at least help it subside a little bit during my time when I was dealing with it as well. So without further ado, let's just jump into it. So guys, loneliness is, we're not talking about the physical loneliness, okay? You can enjoy your time being alone, right? You can, you know, you can come home after a nice day of work or a unpleasant day of work and just chill out and be alone and want to be alone. Or you could just wake up and experience a day where you just want to be by yourself and you have a great time, right? Nobody's arguing that that is what loneliness, the loneliness we're talking about is. The loneliness that I'm referring to and that it affects us all is the subjective feeling of loneliness. The lack of connection, the feeling of isolation that resonates within you. We all feel loneliness time to time, this loneliness, but it's becoming more chronic. It really is. As the years go on, it becomes to develop into a bigger and bigger issue. And it seems, and the thing that not many people seem to realize is that loneliness is a silent killer. Loneliness actually, and I'm going to pull up some statistics here. In the UK, 60% of 16 to 34 year olds report feeling alone often. And in the US as a whole, 46% of people feel lonely in general. Now, I think that's scary. I think it's really crazy that we are all struggling with this problem of loneliness. So, you know, just to kind of like talk a little more about it, you know, like, for example, do you ever feel like you just feel as if there's really no, you just feel like there's no connection in your life? You feel like when you go out in the world that there is just no sense of, I guess, joy. There's no sense of like you're a part of it. You know, I guess it's kind of like, and I feel like it really does kind of stem back to feeling connection, like community. One thing that I never really got to experience when I moved to a big city was a sense of community. But I came from a place where community was a big thing, community and culture and all that kind of stuff. So when I had moved to a city, community was not really there. And I feel like that was already the beginning of the isolation process and the loneliness process, because, you know, to feel connection is an incredibly huge, powerful, and wonderful experience that we all feel as humans. I mean, we evolved to be, I mean, we are social creatures. We evolved to be social creatures, and that feeling of connection is really what shields us from that chronic feeling of loneliness. Now, granted, we can feel lonely often, right? We can feel lonely, you know, once in a while. We can feel lonely at nighttime. You know, I personally feel like loneliness really sets in at nighttime. But the problem with loneliness is it can get much worse if it's not taken care of. And if things don't really seem to get better in your life, it can really spiral downwards, as you will know from me soon enough. And I will talk about some kind of really freaky experiences I had when I was lonely as well. So stay tuned for that. But there is a video that I want to recommend to you. And I don't know if you're familiar with this YouTube channel. They're called Kurzgesagt, in a nutshell, essentially. And they did a video covering loneliness. And they talked for about 12 minutes about this incredible, the incredible effects that loneliness has on all of us. And I would really recommend you check it out, because it can really help some of you out there that don't understand exactly where I'm coming from with loneliness, you know, understand it better. But something really interesting they talked about with loneliness is that it actually impairs your social skills the longer you feel that way. It essentially, your brain essentially begins to, I don't want to say malfunction, it begins to get confused in a sense. You pay more attention to others, but you understand them less. And it's really interesting because, again, going back to the whole thing, we as a species really evolved on being social with each other. I mean, look at people who smile. Look at mirror neurons, okay? You literally see somebody smiling, you feel better and more comfortable towards that person smiling. You feel also the need to smile back. You see somebody who looks really grumpy or mad or bothered, you don't feel so great about that, you know? We cannot forget where we came from. We need connection with other people. You know, being around with friends makes us feel a lot better than scrolling on our social media and replying back to people we don't even know on Twitter, okay? And I think that is, you know, and I want that to set in for a second, because I think a lot of us are falling back into this, you know, deprived sense of connection when we feel more comfort being online and anxiety increases. Because anxiety is also part of a social thing, right? Because in a way, and I will say this, anxiety is a broad spectrum. There is definitely a lot of things that can come out of anxiety and can also come out of being alone. But a lot of anxieties do also relate to social situations, such as public speaking, such as even talking to a stranger, you know? I've known many people who couldn't even answer the phone because they just don't answer phone calls anymore. And granted, that's not really the most common thing as it used to be, but like that's just an example of how something so simple, you know, not even being in the vicinity of somebody calling you still spikes anxieties. And, you know, I really think anxieties have increased with increased social media and phone use because we're kind of losing our sense of socializing. You know, we grow up in a social setting. We grow up in school. We grow up around a family. We grow up with friends. We grow up to work with other people. And now we're living in a time where technology is advancing, technology is taking away jobs from people. A lot of freelance has actually increased, you know, and I actually read an article talking about, I believe 12% of Canadians are actually working at home by themselves. CBC actually did a great little article talking about loneliness, and I related with it incredibly well. And it was essentially talking about how freelance has, the problem with freelance is that, you know, it's great that you work at home and it sounds wonderful, but the problem is that you really, you lose all of the other important things of being with people. You know, you don't get to go on a lunch break with some friends or coworkers. You don't get to have a, you know, small talk with people. You don't get to relate. You don't get to do anything. You just sit in your home, you enjoy your spare time, and, you know, over time, that gets old. It does. You know, it's great at first, and for people who work 9 to 5, you know, they're probably rolling their heads right now, or rolling their eyes, sorry, saying like, oh my God, like, what I wouldn't do to work freelance and not have to work my job. It's like, well, you know, there are pros and cons to everything. Like, I personally have done freelance for a very long time, and I love it. I do. But, you know, over the years, it got a lot more difficult for myself. It really kind of started to impact my mental well-being a lot more. And not to really drag this out too long into the whole, you know, freelance and being loneliness, but the point I'm trying to make is that technology is giving us so many opportunities, but yet it is also isolating us, and it is causing us to isolate ourselves. And with the lack of connection with other people, you know, and our brains essentially kind of losing that connection, losing that social want, that hunger to be out around other people, we're kind of just going inwards on ourselves. And we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot, to be really honest with you. Because it's not to say there is anything wrong with, you know, enjoying technology and being around it and taking it all in, scrolling on your phone. That's all great. But we all often seem to, you know, not look at our phones as a great tool. We look at it as an extension of ourselves. I could tell you right now, there are many times that I would rather just text or message someone on a social media platform than call them, because I feel like I've lost connection with that person, or I just don't really know that person at all. And I think it's really odd because, you know, I have this ability and I'm thankful for it. I can talk to pretty much anybody. I am charismatic when I want to be, but I definitely have moments where I don't want to talk to anybody, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it's really strange that, like, if I'm not aware of what's happening, I start to walk backwards from that charisma. I start to lose that ability, essentially, to talk, to be social. I couldn't tell you how many times I went into the gym and went into the sauna, and I've had many conversations in the sauna, by the way, and I couldn't tell you how many times I sat there and debated on even having a conversation in general, because it's like, you know, and granted, it can be a little awkward in the sauna, but, you know, I've had many great conversations there, have many great topics discussed, and I know how weird that sounds, and I'm not referring to naked dudes, okay? I mean, they had towels on, and so did I, but the point I'm trying to make is that that in itself is a social setting. And I, you know, somebody who likes to talk, I like to talk, I like to talk about people and talk to people, but there was definitely, the point I'm trying to make is there was definitely times where it just felt like I wasn't that person. So it's really strange, and I think, you know, you really need some self-awareness to pay attention to that, because I feel like it's kind of like a muscle. Like to socialize with people is a muscle, and I think a lot of people's social muscles are really deflating. Now, with that all being said, I do kind of want to segue into a little story I have here for you, because I really wanted to talk about loneliness, because loneliness is something I'm very familiar with, and I believe that it's becoming more and more of a common thing that a lot of us are also dealing with, and perhaps you listening right now are also dealing with loneliness, and if you are, I do really hope that this podcast will help, and I hope my little story I share with you helps as well. So let me just jump into it. So for anyone that doesn't know, you know, I'm from Newfoundland. I am in Canada. That's a province of Canada. And essentially, I moved from Newfoundland, which is on the farthest east coast of North America, fun fact, to Toronto, Ontario, which is a huge city. You could compare it to New York, honestly. It's growing in size, in number, in population. And in my culture, from Newfoundland, right, we definitely have a social culture. We are Irish. We are Irish descent. A lot of people talk to each other. A lot of people communicate with each other. You know, we used to have a lot of things in our culture that would involve people coming into other people's homes, dressed up as ghosts, by the way. Look, it's called mummering, if you want to Google that. In our Newfoundland culture, mummers would come into our neighbors' houses, and they would dance and sing, and you had to guess who those people were. That sounds nuts now. Like, if you were to talk about that in today's time, that would sound insane. Who wants a bunch of strangers dressed up, gonna have like a scene from The Purge, come into the house? You don't know these people. You don't know what these people are capable of. But in our culture, that was normal. People loved that. That was okay because people trusted each other. People were social and yada, yada, yada. You know, there was definitely that social and cultural aspect to it. So I grew up with that. Not that I ever grew up experienced that with mummers, because that was definitely a long time ago. But when I had moved to Toronto, that feeling of culture, of community, I'll say community, because Toronto is a huge hub of different cultures, that sense of community was essentially stripped from me. Because, you know, being in a big city where many people from around the world live and go to, I noticed there was this huge connection problem. And I've never really lived in any other city, so, you know, stay with me here. I can only really talk about this experience, but I feel like it could still be I feel like this is definitely how it goes in other cities. The fact that there were so many different cultures and many different people from around the world living in the city, as great and as cool as that sounds, and I believe that Toronto is the most ethnically diverse city in the world, it had a lot of issues. You know, I always looked at that situation of Toronto almost kind of like different oils. That, have you ever seen, like, you know, I guess like a valve or something with a bunch of different, or like a glass vial with a bunch of different oils or liquids that once they settle, they don't mix? I really looked at a lot of what was going on in Toronto like that, because there was a lot of cultures that really conflicted with each other. There was a lot of people who didn't speak English. There was a lot of people that chose to not talk to anyone but people from their culture. There was something I actually learned that was really interesting. And I am only saying this from somebody that told me this, so I don't know if this is for sure. But I noticed when I moved to Toronto that a lot of Chinese people were very, like, hesitant to ever have small talk with me or people that that was around me. And something that I actually learned from my hair cutter, who actually was from China, she had told me that the Chinese, in their culture, they are often taught to not really talk to strangers. You know, it's more about family and, you know, it's just kind of like everybody minds their own business. And they brought that over here to, you know, to Canada or wherever they go because that is where they're from. And I guess that kind of just becomes a part of the city, becomes a part of the social norm. And it was, and I lived in a building with a lot of Chinese people, and I struggled to talk with them. Now, that doesn't mean that's everybody, but again, that was coming from a Chinese lady herself who told me that. So that's just one example of the many different, you know, issues that Toronto had with connecting. And I lived in a condo, and, you know, I still have that condo, thankfully, but when I lived there, there was definitely this issue with living around people who didn't speak English, living around people who didn't want to talk, and felt uncomfortable to talk. And, you know, it was definitely something I saw more in the younger generation than the older generation, which was also something I noticed when I came back to Newfoundland as well, because this, the whole culture I talked about with being social and stuff like that over here, I noticed that starting to change and shift with the younger generation. Because it seems like the younger generation as a whole are just becoming more antisocial with each other. So it's kind of sad to see that. It's kind of sad to see a culture just kind of, I guess, dissolve a little bit as the age, you know, as the age gap continues to widen. But with that being said, you know, I want to get into the really crazy stuff, because while I was in Toronto, I was really starting to develop really freaky, really weird situations. I'll never forget, there was one day I barely spoke to people for like weeks, and I was becoming like stir crazy. I felt trapped in my own home, and it was really making me freak out, because the only time I felt like any sort of relief was when I left my condo and I went out into society. And even that didn't necessarily help the problem a whole lot, but it helped a lot more to be out around people than to just be inside by myself, isolating myself. But the really strange thing was, over time, you know, I was seeing people less and less, and I didn't really get to hang out with a lot of friends I had because we all lived far away. So I was seeing people maybe once every 2 or 3 weeks, and the rest of those days I was just by myself. And, you know, I would go out downtown a lot and walk around and explore, and something really weird started to happen. I kind of noticed that I wasn't really looking at people like I used to anymore. You know, when you go downtown, when you go out in general and you never talk to people, you're always just watching. I was just weirdly starting to develop this like idea of like, I notice a lot of things about people. I was noticing social interactions people had, and I was just becoming this weird observer. But the way I actually looked at people was changing, and it was kind of scaring me a little bit. Because people almost just look like robots to be really honest. Because I just, there was no emotional connection I had. I myself felt like a robot walking downtown. And, you know, just going downtown and looking at people, and it was just like this constant, like, everyday thing that was always happening over and over again. It was like there was just, it was just the same interactions. It was the same things every single day. And it was really weird because, again, I was just noticing so many things about people, how they act, how they behave, but yet I was talking to no one, and I was just really becoming this really strange person. I was again, becoming very numb to people, and, you know, like, really chaotic situations, too. Like, you know, Toronto definitely is a homeless problem and has a drug problem. There's a lot of people in the streets that are just not okay and need help. And a lot of those people just run around and scream and, you know, not to scare you, but, you know, a lot of people just are out of control and they're lost and they're just not doing things that are okay, which includes going up to people and just being, you know, not even making sense and being panicky and stuff. And it's really uncomfortable if you're a part of that. And I've had that happen to me. But I had that happen to me, and I was like numb to it. Like, it meant I was like, okay, whatever. You know, I got to that point. Thankfully, I actually ended up moving back home, and it's sad to say that loneliness was actually a big part of why I moved back home. Because, again, I just felt very isolated. I didn't feel okay. My motivation, my drive for what I do was really depleting, and it was just really scary. And I didn't feel okay. So there's my little story about that, and thankfully I'm back with my family again, but it was definitely a problem that I faced, and, you know, it was something I never really was super open about, but here it is on the podcast. But with that all being said, I don't want to leave you with a story of loneliness and not actually tell you guys what you could do to actually combat against loneliness. And I think one of the biggest things that helped me was realizing that I was lonely and that it was a problem I had, and having the courage to talk about it. Because guys, you know, it is not easy to be vulnerable, but it's also a lot worse to never get the help you need. So for anyone out there that feels isolated, lonely, perhaps you are with your family, perhaps you're with people and you still just feel like you can't reach out and talk, please, please reconsider that. You're doing yourself a favor. You know, you're doing your future self a favor to reach out and get help, whether you want to talk to your friends and family, whether you want to try and reconnect with people again. Maybe you fell out of connecting with some people. You know, maybe you haven't spoken to your parents in a long time. You know, I really believe that even just talking to, like going to a therapist, getting professional help, you know, it is not a sign of weakness to reach out and to try and get help. It's a sign of courage, and I really think that it would, again, do you incredible. It would change your life. It will change your life, and it will heal you. It is the healing process to know that it is a problem you have, and to step out and to start doing something for yourself. So I want to leave off with that, and also know that you're not alone. Know that loneliness is a huge problem and it continues to grow more and more, and you right now, the listener that is listening to this podcast and also is lonely, you taking the right steps towards helping yourself and having the courage to speak about your problems, you, again, are really making a difference for not only yourself, but remember, you could also help other people who are in the same position as yourself. So with that being said, thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I really hope this was very helpful. I hope you guys did enjoy all the stuff I talked about. Again, be sure to check out the Quartz Kazad in a nutshell video on loneliness. It's on YouTube. Literally, it's a great video if you want to get a better understanding, and they explain a lot of really cool things. But either way, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I hope for everyone out there listening that you enjoy this podcast. Be sure to rate us on Stitcher and Apple, and of course, subscribe and listen for more. All right, everybody, thank you again, and I'll see you in the next one. All right, take care.